Blog Talk Radio.
For tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. You guys, I am excited on today to have one of my dear longtime friends on the line, on the air with us. And today, just to share a little bit about who I will actually be speaking to today, today we're going to be talking about purpose in a pandemic. And I'm going to be interviewing Quishibra Latosh Taylor, who is a native of Memphis, Tennessee, which she now resides in Atlanta, Georgia. Miss Q is a gifted, powerful voice of vision who is called to the ministry of teaching, empowerment, and leadership studies. She's a graduate of Beulah Heights University. She is the refreshed self-published author of True Shades of Him and True Shades of Her, a visionary of BAM, Empowerment Ministries and All Visions Enterprise, LLC. As a certified life leadership and vision coach, she assists in training and coaching leaders to lead with passion, purpose, and power. As a true servant of guidance and direction, she shares her testimony of faith as a voice of victorious visions to the community. Also an advocate and survivor and thriver of domestic violence and abuse. She serves freely as a competent communicator, transformational and motivational speaker who desires to encourage, inspire, and empower others to live without limits with pursuing their dreams and goals through purposeful provision. Everywhere she glides, she shares her life stories on how God is able to do anything only if you believe. All things are possible. One of her life's philosophy is, in order for you to be it, you must be willing to see it open. Open your eyes to see yourself as you are great. Miss Q, Lady Q, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Crystal Chanel Show. I'm just excited today to have you on the air, and thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule just to be with us on the air and sharing your story and your testimony. So I would like to just start off, Miss Q, if that's okay for me to call you Miss Q today. I just want you to share with the listening audience your story and testimony.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so honored to be a part of the great and mighty things that you are doing. And so to start with my testimony, in the early part of 2018, I knew that I was preparing to write my second book, which is The True Shades of Her. True is an acronym for True Real Underlying Effect. And what that means is understanding that even sometimes when you see a person, when people act out and they say things, a lot of times it comes from a place of being hurt and them going through some things. And that's not always that particular person based on that, because they have not yet healed in those particular spaces. But HER is also an acronym for healings, expectations, and realizations. And so that's showing that the process actually continues. So as I'm preparing to write this particular book, during this time, God is teaching me how to learn how to fight again. Growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, I only knew how to physically fight. And so I had to learn again how to spiritually fight. And so during this particular time, God was preparing me to go back home to reclaim my daughters. My ex during this time had gone to court and falsified the paperwork to actually take them from me. So, of course, I was married at this time, and he told me if I got married again that he would take what was so dear to my heart, and that was my children. And so God taught me how to spiritually fight to go back to Memphis. And during the time I was on my way to go back to Memphis to reclaim my daughters, I received a phone call that my 20-year-old, which is my oldest son, my oldest child, my only son, had been shot in the head. I knew in that space that he was gone. I had got a peace that I had never experienced in my life. And so I'm 2 hours out. I'm feeling some kind of way because I believe God for God's resurrecting power, but I'm not able to be there physically with my son. Don't know exactly what happened. Don't know what's going on. But as I'm actually driving, like I said, I had this peace. I called a couple of friends to pray for me so I can make it safely there. And even arriving to Memphis, it was two other young men who had gone in after my son. And I was led to stand outside of the hospital and pray for these two young men. And the scariest part for me is knowing that my son was already gone because he was actually brain dead and these two other young men had lived. And I walked back into the hospital. Of course, it's a trauma center, so they're doing everything they possibly know how to do to even bring him back. They talked about blood transfusion. But at that time, they told me that he would no longer be the person that that I once knew because of how the bullet impacted his skull. And it blocked the blood flow. It was one of the hardest decisions ever during that particular time. So his father and I decided to, of course, donate his organs, his gifts, to give four other individuals around the world another chance at life. And so this being May 1st, 2018, and then before the end of 2018, I was going through a divorce at the same time. And so two individuals who I care deeply about, a part of my life actually had, I had lost. So that means that I was actually just, literally with my son, I felt like my heart was cut out of my body. And I felt like I had no heartbeat, no reason to live, no reason of wanting to live. And some may say, but you have four other children when you have actually gone through a tragedy of something like that. Your child, he was my firstborn, so he was the hope that God gave me when I was actually hopeless growing up in the projects in Memphis, Tennessee, not knowing if I would ever get out. And so the part that I thought would be the death of me became the death of my son.
Wow.
Yes.
That is a very, very powerful story and testimony. And I tell you what, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But the same year, you pretty much went through both of these back in 2018, you said?
Yes.
Wow, very tragic, very tragic. Let me ask you this. Throughout this process of you losing your son as well as going through a divorce, like what made you continue to move forward? Did you seek any counseling at that time?
Yes, I had to have the help, but I could actually say this. I was blessed with one of the great therapists I know that God could have actually sent from heaven. I connected with my therapist a year before this actually happened. And I wanted to talk to him mainly because I wanted to start dealing with some past issues that I had that I just couldn't understand how God would actually want to use somebody like me with a blurred past. I just couldn't get past that part. And so I had him, he was a part of my life even before this. So I know if he wasn't there, being a part of my journey. I know that it probably could have been worse, but I was just one because growing up, therapy and counseling was almost like a disease. It was something that you were pretty much admitting that something was wrong with you. And so I made it to a space and said, hey, I don't want to be like, you know, anybody else in my family or others as far as our culture. I want to be the one that actually is being used because I already said yes to God. So there's no turning back for me. And so seeking counsel was most important for me. But actually in this particular process, I came up with this particular acronym, and it's an acronym for REST. And so the first thing is I had to stop and reevaluate my whole life. Even though I didn't want to participate in my whole life, I had to literally stop and begin to start meditating and let my tears out, let my screams out, let how I actually was feeling, my mother's cry where there's no words to it at all. And then, of course, the E, I had to start examining my thoughts and my feelings. You know, where did they come from? Where did they start? And then, of course, as far as the S, I began to, once I started writing those things down, I began to start setting goals and plans. Like, what do I want to do with these particular things? What is the reason behind all of these things? And also learning to trust the process while partnering with my therapist. That was a part of my REST system that I had to develop for me in order to get what it is that I need. So I did not give up because that was never a part of who I was as a person, and I've always been self-motivated and determined. So during that time, none of that was a highlight in my life. So I had to start somewhere. But the biggest thing was having support from a community who actually knew me, not knew of me, but knew my heart enough and have seen me actually serve in ministry and also the marketplace. So they knew that I was someone who had a purpose. They knew that I was someone who was called into ministry. They knew these things. And so they began to start nurturing me from that particular place, pretty much loving me back to life.
Wow, wow. Yeah. Now let me ask you, Ms. Q, what made you decide to choose a male therapist? I'm just curious. Me being a Christian counselor, you do see people where, you know, you have ladies that want to counsel with a female because they feel like, okay, I can relate to that female more so than a male. But what made you choose a male therapist?
As I began to evaluate life for me, as I went back, I realized that when I was molested by a man. When I was raped, I was raped by a man. When I was abused by a man. When I went through as far as being challenged with who I am and who I could actually be, it was by a man. My father was not in my life, so I had men issues. And so my mom was there, my sisters were there, like my granny was there, like women were always there, the empowerment, the encouragement, all the struggles were there. But the absent part of what I needed was from a man. And so even though I struggled with those things and was actually taught, you don't need a man, you don't need this, and that part, I was like, okay. But as I got older, I said, no, I know that I'm a wife. And so is a part of me that I actually do need. And so when I began to start praying and seeking God, I knew I had to face my greatest fear. So my greatest fear came from the male perspective. And so I said, God, I need what I need for me to heal. And so it wasn't a mother. It was a father. And so my therapist has a pastoral background and, of course, is in ministry, have been in ministry over 30-something years. So he didn't see me as someone, oh, my gosh, she's called to preach. She's called to do all these things. He saw me as a little girl who actually had all these missing components in her life, and he was willing to help cultivate those things as a father, and that's what I needed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think that's very, very true. You know, sometimes we get so stuck on, you know, I don't want to share with the man, or even when we go to the doctor, right? You know, I don't want a male doctor. I want a female doctor. You know, because we are females, then the first thing most people are going to say is that, hey, I want a female therapist. I want a female counselor. But, I mean, that's a very, very powerful way of thinking about, you know, the way how you decided to choose your therapist. And I absolutely, absolutely love it. I think, honestly speaking, more people probably need to think about it that way so that they can get the assistance that we need. I remember me having even though I'm a Christian counselor now, you know, I remember back in the day when I even had to physically go and sit down and see my therapist, you know. I felt even worse, you know, after I talked to the therapist. But I'm just like, okay, at that time, you know, when you're healing hurts, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, we know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. So once we go through the process and pull the bandages off, then, of course, eventually we'll be healed. I just want to ask you, let's just say, for example, there is so many people have lost family members and friends and their loved ones and husbands and wives and children throughout this pandemic. It's just heartbreaking, and people are unfortunately still dying. For the listening audience and for people that have already experienced some type of loss or maybe experiencing a loss in the future, you know, what would be your words of encouragement to that particular person or persons?
One of the things that I've actually discovered being a coach, minister, speaker, and even just being a part of someone's support system, one of the struggles that we have, that I've actually seen in my community, is that we believe that we're the only one that's going through. And so what we do is we suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. As I begin to be more open and transparent, I tell people, please don't ask me unless you want to know the truth. Or I could actually be the one that can tell you all the details of my story, because I have acknowledged my story, I own my story, and I'm going to dominate in my story. And so even though we all have experienced this, or even experienced even as we look at our overall world of actually going through this particular pandemic, and some of us have lost people, lost loved ones, even just hearing while watching the TV, hearing of others, not even having to be some kin to you, we've actually, all of us have lost something. The greatest thing is you still have the opportunity to go and reexamine where you are, and even in the midst of, you know, the ups and downs, because even in those grieving stages, you have those. One day you're good, the next day you're challenging yourself. The next moment you're like, why did this happen to me? You know, there's guilt. There's so many different things that actually happen. I should have made this decision. I should have did this. But I believe that you're in the place where you need to be now to basically stop, take this resting moment, and just reevaluate. Reevaluate where you are and get back on track to where you were going even before all of this happened. And we actually think about purpose. Purpose is the reason behind one's creation. It's the reason why one exists. You still have the opportunity to continue the legacy. You still have the opportunity to continue on the journey that someone else was not able to continue on. So now the torch is actually in your hand, and you have the opportunity now to not only just look at the torch, but actually take that lighter and you relight it, and you continue to move forward and do what it is that you were already graced to do from the beginning. And so to sum all of this up, even in the midst of going through and what we experience, there's still opportunity to continue on in your purpose. But the only way you're able to do it, you got to be able to stop, rest, reevaluate, pick that torch up, relight it, and continue on with the journey.
Wow, and that's powerful. I just love the idea and in the statement that you stated. Take the lighter and just relight and start from where you left off and move forward. Yes. That's very, very powerful. And let me ask you this. I know that there are many people that don't even know their purpose. You know, there are many people that don't have a passion. So can you share with the listening audience, for example, you know, for someone that may not have a purpose in this pandemic, how would you encourage them as well?
I remember when I was about 5 years old in kindergarten. And during this time in kindergarten, we all have this opportunity that we're giving when our teacher says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so we're so excited. We're super excited because at this moment we believe that we can do and be anything. I remember being asked this question when I was this age, and I remember saying I wanted to be a teacher. And so when I was actually younger, I would play school and play church with my sisters. I'm the oldest of five girls. And so I was always that leader. Come on, we got to go play church. We got to go. Come on, we're playing school. I was excited. But guess what? Life happened. Life happened. I got older. Right, I started having children. I went through these different relationships as far as abuse, and I had a lot of disappointments. I dealt with abandonment. I dealt with rejection, like all this stuff that comes with life. And I lost me trying to live up to everybody else's expectation. And so what I have to do is say, wait a minute, who are you? What do you say about you? And I had to go back to that five-year-old, even though I didn't know exactly what I liked. I was a teacher, but I didn't know if I liked being a teacher. I remember I believe I was in the fifth grade when my teacher told me, I was going through at home, and she told me, you'll never be anything in life. Fifth grade. She said, you're going to be just like your crackhead mama. That's what she told me.
Oh, wow.
I remembered that. And she sowed that seed to the point where that seed began to start growing. So as I got older, I began to start losing me because of what others had said about me. So I had to go back, honey, and look in that garden of life and begin to pull those weeds out, pull those things out about what people had said about me, what they thought about me. I had to go back and leave some baggage that I actually picked up and carried along the way without knowing how to set boundaries. And so I had to go back and say, you know what? What was I created to do? My purpose. What is that? What is my passion? So I didn't understand purpose, so I went to my passion. Kyushiba, what do you love doing?
Right.
I love teaching. I love helping bring clarification and give knowledge. I love to take my time and help individuals who may not understand, you know, how to order these or format these sentences. I love to do all these different things. And when I went back and I started reevaluating those things, and that's when I was actually called to write my own first book. Get actually an editor to help me out, and I self-published my own first book. And God reminded me, you already had the gift. It's just like any other beautiful gift. They come wrapped up really pretty. Beautifully wrapped, but there's still just that beautiful gift being wrapped up if you don't open up and see what's on the inside. So I believe until we actually get to that place of having the willingness to be open, finding out more about what it is that we like to do, what do we love to do, and starting there with that particular space there will actually lead you to your passion, but not only your passion, your reason for existence, your reason for being in this life, to live this life. And you will not be moved by what's going on in this world, because you'll always remember why you were created and what you can do to help somebody else live their purpose and also find their passion.
Wow, I tell you what, you've truly encouraged me on this afternoon. If nobody else have been encouraged, honey, you have definitely encouraged me on this afternoon, and I'm just so grateful that God kept you through the midst of what you went through. And it's just a very powerful story and testimony, and just grateful that you came on the show and shared your trials and tribulations with the listening audience. And just to let you guys know that, there is a purpose for your life. There's a reason and a purpose for everything that we go through.
Yeah.
And whether or not that is for us to go through it for ourselves or for our neighbors or someone else,
mm-hmm.
but I also believe that there's always a reason that we go through things for other people as well,
yeah.
to be able to pull them through that storm that they may be going through. Ms. Kushiba, let me ask you, what type of events that you may have coming up? Like, what's on your calendar?
Actually, I am just being released to actually being able to partake and participate in the different events, not just because of the pandemic,
okay.
but God actually had me in a place of rest. And one of the things that I realized in this particular space is I can't take people to a place of being healed and delivered and set free
if
I have
not healed.
Been to that place myself. And God has just recently released me as of last week, and I'm so grateful even with our reconnection and also being able to go back and look at some emails. And so what I could actually recommend is that you actually follow me on my social medias, and then, of course, all the updates are going to be there within the next week or so with the different events. So he's released me, of course, now and moving forward because my eighth year in Georgia is June 12th. And so God actually told me with the new beginnings, with the number 8, that's when everything is going to take off. And so I'm really excited about that, even with the events coming, actually starting in July. I don't have any set up for this particular month, but going as far as July. But I'm really looking forward to a couple of workshops that I'm working on that's going to be a part of the books that I do have, because that's the teacher in me. I don't want to just give have my books available and say, hey, listen, just read my story. No, I want you to know that there's someone out here that's actually gone through what you've gone through. And one thing I realized that everybody that go through don't come out. And so, but
that's
I'm a sister that actually have gone through, and God has brought me out, with a victorious voice, I shall say, that's willing to actually help and navigate others through whatever it is that they may be dealing with as well, so they could not only find out what their story is, know their story, but be bold enough to walk through and own their story as well.
Wow, wow. And can you share with the listening audience, like, if they wanted to follow you, your social media outlets?
Yes. On Facebook, I am Kushebra Latash. That is Kushebra Latash, Latash. On LinkedIn, I am Kushebra Taylor. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram as I am Q Latash.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you guys, to the listening audience, if you definitely want to follow Ms. Q, I would say please, please, please make sure you connect with Ms. Q. This is a powerful woman of God. In spite of all the storms and things that she's gone through, she's able to bless your life. Like I said, she's definitely encouraged me on this afternoon, and I'm just so, so grateful, to have reconnected with you, and I can't wait for all the years and things to come in the near future. Also, I want to just take this time to say thank you to 96.1 FM radio as well as WJBS for 1440 AM radio station, Gospel Best Truth Radio, gospel all day and every day. We greatly appreciate this opportunity for you allowing the Crystal Chanel Show to actually have this time so that you guys are able to hear the stories and the testimonies of my awesome guests that I will continue to bring on the air. Tune in with us every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, again at 96.1 FM and WJBS 1440 AM radio stations. We're very grateful. You guys, I just want to say again, thank you so much for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. Ms. Q, blessings to you, my love.
Thank
I just
you.
Know that what God is about to do in your life, people better put on their seat belts and sit back and enjoy the ride, because I know that you are going to definitely change some lives. You have blessed me Oh, my, my, my. And I'm going to keep my tears in my eyes today. I'm not going to cry on the radio, okay? But you have blessed me in the last past couple of days, and I'm just so grateful for your life and everything that God is about to do for you. You guys, we're going to definitely close out at this time. Again, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. And you guys, until next time, we'll see you on the air next Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miss Q, God bless you, and I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome.